unto him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. In the name of Jesus, dear fellow redeemed. The prophet Jeremiah often has been referred to as the weeping prophet. Not only did he write the book of Jeremiah, but he also wrote the book of Lamentations, in which he mourns and weeps because Jerusalem lay in ruins for quite some time during the 6th century before Jesus came into the world. Jeremiah had a very difficult ministry because God called him to proclaim to the people a powerful message telling the people about their sins. The Lord said, "Their transgressions are many. Their backslidings have increased. They have forsaken me, burned incense to other gods, and worshiped the works of their own hands." This morning, we direct our attention to two points in particular that the Lord commanded Jeremiah to proclaim. "My people have committed two evils." Our text is recorded in the book of the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 2, verses 4 through 13. "Hear the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus says the Lord, what injustice have your fathers found in me, that they have gone far from me, have followed idols, and have become idolaters? Neither did they say, where is the Lord, who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, who led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and pits, through a land of drought and the shadow of death, through a land that no one crossed and where no one lived? I brought you into a bountiful country to eat its fruit and its goodness. But when you entered, you defiled my land and made my heritage an abomination. The priests did not say, where is the Lord? And those who handled the law did not know me. The rulers also transgressed against me. The prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after things that do not profit. Therefore, I will yet bring charges against you, says the Lord, and against your children's children I will bring charges. For pass beyond the coasts of Cyprus and sea, send to Kedar and consider diligently and see if there has been such a thing. Has a nation changed its gods, which are not gods? But my people have changed their glory for what does not profit. Be astonished, O heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be very desolate, says the Lord, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and have hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water." Perhaps I should begin by explaining what a cistern is. As referred to in our text, a cistern is a reservoir for holding water. A cistern can be constructed outside or inside the home. In years gone by, many homes had a cistern which was constructed out of concrete, or it was constructed out of stones and mortar. When I was growing up, we had a concrete cistern in the basement of our home, into which the rainwater flowed from the roof of the house. Rainwater is soft water. That was our source of water for washing and bathing ourselves and for washing our clothing, not for drinking. In the house by the sink, there was a little cistern pump. In our text, the prophet Jeremiah speaks of broken cisterns, cisterns that leaked, and he concludes with the following admonition from the Lord to his people. He said, "My people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." This bottom line summarizes what had happened among the people of Israel and Judah, and in particular, what happened among the civic and religious leaders. At the beginning of our text, the Lord confronts his people, who had departed from him with the question, "What injustice have your fathers found in me, that they have gone far from me, have followed idols, and have become idolaters?" The Lord simply asked his people, "What have I done wrong?" In view of what had happened among the people, this was a logical question to ask. God's chosen people had turned their backs on God, and they were worshiping idols. An idol is a nothing. That's the meaning of the word. An idol is a god that does not exist. Moses wrote, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." Through the prophet Jeremiah, the Lord asked, "Has a nation changed its gods, which are not gods? But my people have changed their glory for what does not profit." Indeed, this is a very sad story. God, who had done so much for his people, was accused of being unjust and unfair in dealing with his people. What is more, the people spoke and acted as if they did not know who the true God was or what he had done for them. They had forgotten the true God, and no one was seriously asking, "Where is the Lord who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, who led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and pits, through a land of drought and the shadow of death, through a land that no one crossed and where no one was living?" Now, to the prophet Jeremiah, the Lord reminded his people of what they had forgotten, namely, what he had done for them over the years, how he miraculously brought them out of slavery from the land of Egypt. The Lord visited the people of Egypt with 10 plagues, and his own people were always spared. When they left Egypt, God parted the sea and allowed his people to cross the sea on dry land. The Egyptians who pursued them were drowned. The Israelites were separated from their enemies by a pillar of cloud by day and by a pillar of fire by night. They were able to travel by day and by night. As they wandered through the wilderness, the Lord provided manna, bread from heaven in the morning, and at night, quail flew into the camp, which they could kill and eat. On several occasions, while they wandered through the wilderness, water was provided for them from a rock. At Mara, the bitter waters were miraculously made pure and drinkable simply by tossing a tree into the water. Eventually, the Lord brought them into the promised land of Canaan, and of that the Lord reminded them through the prophet Jeremiah. He said, "I brought you into a bountiful country to eat its fruit and its goodness." God kept his promise. They had been brought into the promised land of Canaan, of which Moses spoke and wrote. Before they ever arrived at the land of Canaan, Moses had cautioned them not to forget God. He said, "When the Lord your God brings you into the land of which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build, houses full of all good things which you did not fill, hewn out wells which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees, which you did not plant. When you have eaten and are full, then beware, lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." But the very thing that Moses told them should not happen, happened. They forgot the Lord their God. Now, centuries after Moses, through the prophet Jeremiah, the Lord reminded them, "But when you entered, you defiled my land and made my heritage an abomination." How did it happen that they ended up with broken cisterns, cisterns that can hold no water? The primary problem was with the leaders among the people, involving both the civic and the religious leaders. Four different groups are mentioned. Jeremiah wrote, "The priests did not say, 'Where is the Lord?' The priests, whom the Lord had ordained to teach his people, ignored the promises of the Lord and forgot what the Lord had done and promised to do for his people." Again, the Lord said, "Those who handled the law did not know me." Other teachers who were explaining and interpreting the law of God did not even know who the true Lord is. The rulers also transgressed against me. Also those who were supposed to be leaders of the people in civic as well as in spiritual matters transgressed the commandments of God and misled the people. The prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after things that do not profit. The called prophets of God prophesied in the name of the heathen god Baal, a god that did not exist. They accepted the heathen religion of the people in whose land they dwelt. Both the civic and the religious leaders were on a slippery slope that led the people in a way that was of no benefit. What the people were being taught and the way in which they were being led was of no temporal or spiritual benefit for anybody. They were broken cisterns that can hold no water. History repeats itself. Today there are many leaders in government and religious leaders who are broken cisterns, who are misleading millions of people in a way that is of no profit and of no temporal or spiritual benefit for anybody. Civic leaders should govern according to the moral law, which has nothing to do with the establishment of a specific religion. God's moral law is written in the heart of all people, and it is revealed in the Ten Commandments, which are the foundation for determining what is right and wrong, and they are binding on all people throughout the whole world for all times. Religious leaders should be leading people to the revelation given in God's Word, which shows us our sin and its horrible consequences, and directs us to the one and only Savior for all people, namely Jesus Christ, the Son of God and Son of Man, who suffered and died on Calvary's cross to wash away our sins, and who rose from the dead and conquered sin, death, and hell. The common people also were like broken cisterns because they allowed their leaders to mislead them. In fact, on occasion, they even requested to be misled. They told the prophets of the Lord, "Do not prophesy to us right things. Speak to us smooth things. Prophesy deceits." They did not want to hear about their sins or the promised Savior. They were like many people today who only want to hear a lot of nice-sounding nonsense. Listen to many civic and religious leaders today who speak many words with little or no sense. The Lord admonished his people and let them know that he would not ignore what they had done. He said, "I will yet bring charges against you, and against your children's children I will bring charges." That was a warning for them and for all future generations. The Lord told them to look as far as Cyprus and Kedar. That was like saying, "Look as far as you can to the east and the west, and behold the heathen nations." What happened to them? The nations and people who forget God and who want to get him out of their lives go down into the dust. What is more, in some ways the children of Israel were worse than the heathen people. For generations they had heard and experienced the goodness and the greatness of the one true God, but then they turned their backs on him. Like broken cisterns, they leaked and lost the truths about God, which are so precious. Now they were given the call to repentance, and they were invited to seek and to return to the fountain of living waters, which is Christ. This is an expression on which we have a commentary in the New Testament. In the Gospel according to St. John, we have the record of the Samaritan woman who met Jesus at Jacob's well. He told her that whoever drank from Jacob's well would thirst again, but whoever would drink of the water that he offers would never thirst again. Jesus offered her the living water, which is the refreshing news of God's love for us sinners. In her case, it included the news of forgiveness for her immoral life. Jesus told her to go and call her husband. She said she didn't have a husband. And he said, "That's right. You have had 5 husbands, and the one with whom you are living now is not your husband." As a result of that conversation with Jesus, the Samaritan woman came to faith in the promised Messiah and Savior of the world. And she ran into town as fast as she could go. And through her testimony to others, others were also brought out there to believe in Jesus as their Savior. Today, Jesus offers us the living water, of which he is the fountain. He is the source through whom we come to the Father. Through him, we have the forgiveness of sins, and we become the heirs of everlasting life. In the book of Revelation, the Savior says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts." At the close of the book, we are told, "The Spirit and the Bride say, 'Come.' And let him who hears say, 'Come.' And let him who thirsts, 'Come.' Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely." Jesus is the water of life. Believe on him as the Son of God and your Savior, and you have everlasting life, which springs from the fountain of life. Separated from the fountain of life, we are spiritually dry and dead. The living Savior is the life-giving Savior. He says, "I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." Whatever the evil is, whatever the sins are that we have committed, before us stands the fountain of living water, inviting us, "Come unto me," and assuring us, "Your sins are all washed away. Believe it and rejoice in your salvation. Amen." O Lord, in your holy word, you remind us that we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. All earthly possessions were here before we came into the world, and they will remain here after we leave. All possessions are gifts from you to be used to your glory and for the temporal and spiritual welfare of others. Open our hearts to see and to do your will. Teach us evermore to say with David, "All things come from you, and of your own we have given you. Amen." Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for adopting us as your children, making us your heirs of everlasting life through Jesus Christ. As your dear children, we have the privilege of bringing our sins to you for pardon, knowing that they have already been paid for by Jesus. We are confident that whatever things we ask of you in Jesus' name, you will give us, and that as a kind and concerned Father, you will continue to bless us for your love's sake. We ask, therefore, that you listen to our troubles and bind up our many hurts. We ask you to share our burdens and cares, to keep us from straying, and to help and heal us. Dear Father, in your mercy, dispel our fears and chase away all our worries. Oh, how faithful you are to us, Never have you betrayed our trust. Yet we have often failed to trust you as we ought. For this we also ask your forgiveness. Teach us that when we have you as our Heavenly Father, and Jesus as our Savior from sin, and the Holy Spirit as the giver and keeper of our faith, we have everything and lack nothing. Through the Holy Spirit, give us a childlike faith that does not doubt or hold back, but simply trusts you for everything. As your children, may we learn to do good to everyone, especially to fellow members of the household of faith. Teach us to recognize the needs of others and to be generous in sharing our goods with them. May we pray in their behalf and be quick in offering our goods with them. May we pray also for all men, according to your invitation and your promise to hear and answer our prayers. May our lives as your spiritual children be avenues to others for the tender mercies with which you rule all your works. Dear Heavenly Father, send the word of Christ into all the world, converting the hearts of people everywhere, adding brothers and sisters in the faith who with us will lift their voices in prayer and praise to you, our gracious God. Bestow your many and varied blessings upon the household of faith, and teach us all to thank and praise you for them. We ask all these things as your dear children, through the same name of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, All of you drink of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. We thank you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this saving gift. And we pray that in your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and rules with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.